Yeah. Chat. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you're feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursue.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. Make sure you guys check out our website, theantimedia.org, and make sure you check out all the awesome other radio shows here on UCY and support them any way you can. This is a great independent news station, and it's a great place to get your news, and it's not corporately run or anything like that. We're not beholden to any advertisers, so we can say whatever the hell we want, as is pretty evident if you guys listen to our show pretty often. I'm also joined here in the studio with DB Schwartz, our co-host, and LaVon from our Friday show. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Hello. I'm great, thank you.
So we got a lot of news to cover. Obviously, this stuff that's going on in Ferguson is going to be at the top of the list. Why don't you just kick us off here, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, Ferguson's just spiraling out of control. Everybody knows Mike Brown, 18 years old, pretty much crossing the street, and the way the story seems like it's playing out is an overzealous police officer, like always, said, hey, get out of the street, or get the fuck out of the street, or whatever expletive he used, and these kids were just trying to get home, man. They know that, you know, you stop for a cop or whatever, there's always a chance. And sure enough, look what happened, man. They did stop for the cop, and the cop said, you know what, get on your knees, blah, 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 and shoots the kid, shoots him in his face even, and leaves the body there for hours. Now, had that happened in almost any community, these things would have probably driven that community to insanity, but you're talking about a community in the middle of Missouri that's poor. You're talking about a community that's just east of the airport. I mean, this is the ghetto of St. Louis, dude, and these people have been treated badly and marginalized by their police for generations, and it's just coming to boil.
Yeah, and it's you know, it's not just the police either. It's the whole system that is basically marginalized people, just like any other place in America where it's low income and all these things that have been created out of this economic system that we're kind of trapped in right now, this institutional capitalism, as I like to call it. It's, you know, cronyism, basically. And it's, what it's done is it's created an enormous, enormous underclass. And this problem that we're seeing in Ferguson is not isolated to just places in Missouri or just places in the South, or just in Los Angeles, or just here in San Diego. With the the fact that the middle class is absolutely disintegrating right now, and the fact that the middle class is losing, like, basically all of its purchasing power, this kind of stuff is going to be boiling up all over the damn country. And people need to wake up to this fact. And people need to be prepared for whatever it is that's going to happen here, whether it's the police state growing or whether people are actually going to take back and push these police back and push the police state out of our communities. And I think that's really what this battle is all about. I think people in Ferguson are absolutely fed up with the police pushing them around, harassing them, arresting them for victimless crimes. I mean, it's to a point now where it's not even really safe to walk on the street if you're a minority in Ferguson, because you always have to worry about these cops harassing you and shaking you down, pulling you over. According to the witness that was with Mike Brown over there, he basically was saying the cop pulled his car up very aggressively right in front of them, so close that he almost hit them, and then he threw his door open and hit them with his door. I mean, whether that's completely true or not, I believe it, because I've seen some very, very similar things happen right in front of me before here in San Diego.
Right. I mean, if you see videos of police pushing people in wheelchairs because they rolled over their foot, you know that they're more than capable of stopping in front of somebody and opening the door and slamming it into you. Now, it doesn't really matter who you are. If you're an African-American teenager or you're a little lady crossing the street, they see you as the enemy now. And this has been a philosophical change over the last 30 years or so. As a child, I remember respect policemen. If something's going on, or if you're lost in a mall or something, you can go up to a cop or you can trust him. That's not the case anymore. What's happened is they've lowered the standards. They've looked for these sociopaths to hire, man. They've looked for it. And it's all according to plan so that they can bring this tyrannical police state in. A lot of people ask, why are they doing this? Because now they feel they can do this. They think they have the technology to do this. The moneyed elite think that they can make a control grid to control 300 million people. And these cops, and let's admit it, a lot of these guys are brainwashed and they're not firing on all cylinders. They don't have any idea of what they're opening up with the way they're treating the people they're supposed to protect.
Yeah, and if we look at the police response, and in my personal opinion, I think the police response is probably partially to blame for triggering these damn riots. Because they came out, and the family and the friends of Mike Brown, they came to have a peaceful candlelight vigil and a memorial for him, and they show up with police dogs and riot gear, as if purposely provoking this thing to kick off. And it did. And just like we've documented before on the anti-media, Justin King has made such a great example about what this militarization has done to the mentality of these cops, where it gives them this kind of invincibility complex. This militarization does the same thing to the public. It makes us more radical. We see it as a threat to us, and it makes us react in a different way. If the people were able to have a peaceful vigil and they were left alone, those riots probably would have never kicked off. But instead, the police state, it wasn't bad enough that they killed the unarmed kid. They had to show up in full-on riot gear afterwards, suppressing the freedom of speech, suppressing the protest. And so that was the reaction. And we went into depth on this on Monday. If you guys want to look back and go a little more into the whole rioting stuff, and my stance on the riot is I don't think it was I don't ever condone destruction of people or property, but at the same time I don't blame them for doing what they did, because let's face it, we're an oligarchy. How long have we been asking for accountability from the cops? How long have we been petitioning our government to represent us? And it's just after so much time and so much effort and so many times of trying to push these guys to represent us and push these guys to reform and push these guys to get out of this oligarchy, eventually you get tired of asking and you get tired of petitioning, and you just take to the streets, and that's exactly what's going on right now in Ferguson.
And it's convenient to use the African-American community, particularly in the heartland, because you people, me, myself, everybody that's been privy and pretty much indoctrinated by American culture has bought into this thugged-out attitude. And that's why I'm so glad that this, if I was gunned down, Twitter storm kind of kicked off, because we pretty much give cops a pass because we, and I don't mean me and you and anyone here, but we as a society pretty much take a pass on their brutality because we feel that they're dealing with undesirables and taking out the trash. And it's nothing to do with that. People are people. And there's been demographics that have historically, through slavery in this point, been put on a virtual plantation inside what's supposed to be a free society. And this is this is like we like to say, Nick, blowback. It's just blowback, man. Imagine if you were one of these people in Ferguson and your whole life you were intimidated, you were called things, animals by the police, they tried to cage you in.
That's what they said. There's a video. Yeah. We posted an article on it yesterday. It went very viral, too, that Cassius posted. And there was a video from CNN they caught on camera. The cop obviously didn't know the video was rolling.
Right.
But he basically said, all you guys are effing animals.
Effing animals.
Bring it.
Bring it. Bring it on.
You know?
They are going to bring it on. Here's the thing. I'm not African American. I'm not poor. And I'm not from Ferguson. But you know what? I could be. You know that tonight, if I drove home and the wrong cop pulled me over, he could shoot me and nothing would happen to him. And that's a reality in the United States of America Corporation, where we have these pigs that are controlling and ultimately protecting corporate masters. And they're going to treat you like the property that under our own laws you are. You're collateral. Your birth certificate says you're collateral. You're owned by the state. You have to look these things up and understand the mentality behind it. And then you understand why the cops think they're invincible, because they said the FBI is going to investigate. So what? The FBI is not going to find anything. The Internal Affairs isn't going to find anything. The FAA is not going to allow citizen journalists to find anything with drones, because now that whole area is subject to no flight.
Basically a no-fly zone, unless you're a cop.
And now, you know, yesterday, finding out that California did this kill switch with the phones, this may be the last time we have actual footage from an event like this, because they'll just kill out all the phones. So the noose isn't just on. It's tightening, and it's around the carotid arteries now. Like, it's there, man, and it's ready to cut them off. Like, if people don't wake up, they'll realize one day that this big giant debt collateral we've been holding, if you can't pay that, you'll go to prison. I mean, this is the setup being formulated right now.
Now, I got a couple updates that I want to talk about real quick from a friend that is sending me updates from the area in St. Louis. One is that it's been confirmed that Mike Brown had no criminal record.
Yep.
So he's not a criminal. A lot of people are trying to make it seem like he's some kind of criminal, or that everyone in that community are criminals. No, everyone in that community aren't criminals. They're just being mistreated by the police, and if they are convicted of crime or suspected of crime, almost all the time it's victimless crimes. It's stuff that's not hurting anybody. You know, if people are doing drugs or selling drugs, okay, they're hurting themselves. But it's a victimless crime, and we all know that the war on drugs is an absolute utter failure. And any cop that's still enforcing the war on drugs just doesn't get it. And if these guys are willing to be these kind of brutes that are just following orders, that are willing to lock people up in cages just for selling weed or selling coke or whatever it is, then that's an obvious sign of lack of intelligence, man. Now, here's the other story, and I was watching a couple live feeds from over there today, and everything seemed peaceful. Everyone was speaking out, and everything was pretty good. Now, there's a article here from some conservative site, Red Flag News, but apparently the militia is showing up now in Ferguson, and the militia is going to protect the citizens against these cops.
Yes, that's so believable that the militia is going to come to Ferguson when the militia is probably 99%
white guys. They're not going to roll in there. So,
but if they did, that would be huge.
But it's not going to happen because this divide and conquer thing is still prevalent. But if it did, it would be more than huge. And that's what we need. I'll believe it when I see it. Red flag news, whatever, man. And
exactly. You and never know what's truth or what's not from there. But if this turns out to be true, that would be a huge development. And
yes,
I think it would be great.
It'd be bigger than Bundy, because Bundy was some nut job out in the middle of nowhere and a bunch of cowboys came to his defense. Would you, middle America, come to the defense of the St. Louis ghetto? That's the question. Are people going to drive there and be part of this? And when it does come to your community, say, for instance, if Chula Vista right now is on fire, are people from La Jolla going to show solidarity? I believe that's the only reason the elites continue to run the show. They have you thinking that you're different or you're better, or God forbid, they're animals and you can't reason with them anymore, let alone they're just human beings like you. They got everybody believing that bull.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, that would be a positive development in my opinion, and it would improve the situation there. It would bring more of a unity situation, because let's face it, it's not a problem of a certain race or a certain class. Everybody's going to have to deal with this police state. Even the people that think they're in the middle class right now, when the middle class finally completely dissolves, it's halfway there now. Guess what? You're the poor now, and you're the enemy of the police. The police are there to protect the rich against the poor. And almost everybody in the country, unless you're a one percenter, is going to be in that group. And so now it's time to unite and throw away all those old barriers that the media and the government build up for us. In fact, what's his name? Al Sharpton showed up, and he got heckled. A guy was there and he called him, asking him about how he was an FBI snitch and an FBI informant and whether he was going to, if he was here to rat out the rioters. Okay, so people are starting to see through this crap. They're starting to see through the divide and conquer stuff. And it's time for us to really come together. Now, Justin King made a great point on the anti-media yesterday. And this article, it's actually pinned on CopBlock right now. And it's gone extremely viral. But basically, it shows that this whole Ferguson riot, man, has brought us to this point now where it's different than what happened with Rodney King. Because let's look back and remember what happened with Rodney King. It wasn't until the verdict, and it wasn't until all the cops that had beat Rodney King sentences got acquitted when the riot started, right? So these were reactionary riots. Now, what's happening in Ferguson now are preemptive riots, man. And it brings us up to this next point that I want to make. And hold on, we got a siren going by here. I don't know how loud that is for you guys, but it's pretty terribly loud here because we're not in the greatest parts of town where we're at it either. Anyway, preemptive rioting brings us basically to the third step of an insurrection.
Yep.
Reactive protest, reactive rioting, that's what we saw back after Rodney King.
Yeah, in Tiananmen Square. I mean, do you want tanks to roll through Washington, D.C.? That's the question. Because it's dialectic, man. It's what they've been saying. It's guys like Ike who've been saying it for years. You create a situation. Now, did they want the economy to implode? No. But guess what? The rest of the world grouped together, found out their military is probably good enough to take us on, and made bricks. And now what's going on is reactionary. And because they realized that the United States of America, with a military with no morale and a fractured citizenry, is not going to support a prolonged world war, they now know they can't defeat BRICS, and guess what's going to happen? Fortress America. It's up to us to prevent that. I don't want to be cut off from the world because the Dick Cheneys of the world are war criminals. I don't want that kind of life for me or my children.
No thanks. I don't want that either. Now, the third step of an insurrection is this preemptive rioting. Preemptive rioting follows a period of reactive protests that go unanswered by the government. The people that begin taking to the streets and destroying private and public property as soon as an offending incident takes place, rather than waiting and hoping for the government to police itself. What's the next step? Military or law enforcement backlash and crackdowns. So basically, these riots and small incidents of resistance trigger a government reaction. The control systems of the country tighten their grip on the people and further curtail civil liberties and infringe on people's rights. The government crackdown fuels a resistance movement as more people tire of government intrusion. And that's what we're seeing right now in Ferguson. We're seeing people, we're seeing press get thrown out. We're seeing this no-fly zone getting put in place. We're seeing journalists get arrested. A New York Times journalist got shot with a wood pellet from the cops. And now we're seeing, you know, these people get shot with tear gas thrown at them when they're in their own yards. The cops are telling them to go home. They're like, "Hey, we already are home." They shoot tear gas at them. Get inside. Okay. Right. And so what we're seeing now is an overreaction from the government, which is why we need these. Hopefully, these militias do show up and actually do protect these people and force these government idiots to back down. You know, but we'll see what happens. What follows this is a period that's more unpredictable. These officials and these cops and these government bureaucrats have two options here. They either wake the hell up, reform, get rid of the oligarchy, and give us the representation back, or guess what? They're going to face the most extreme opposition to the government that this country has seen since 1776. And we were talking about it earlier with, I was talking about it earlier with one of our newest members of the anti-media team, Leo. And we were talking about how we just the sight of cops now is repulsive. And just seeing these cops, and we look at them, we're like, damn, these pigs, man. Because what's happening is the population is getting radicalized to these ideas that these cops can just walk around, kill anybody they want, and if they do get caught, they get paid vacation. And these bureaucrats, these politicians get to sell out to all these corporations, they get to do all this insider trading, and if they get caught, they get a slap on the wrist. We do something as minor as getting caught with an ounce of weed or a little more than an ounce of weed, and guess what? We're going to jail. So what's happening is the people are getting so tired of it. It's only a matter of time, and I don't know how long. It could be a year, it could be a week, it could be 5, 10, 20 years. If reforms aren't made, if money is not taken out of politics, if we don't get our representation back, then guess what? Every single cop and every single politician is going to have a target on its back, and it's going to just be from random people. It's going to be guerrilla. It's not even going to be organized. It's going to be random people seeing a cop and just saying, "Yeah, screw it. I'm just going to run this dude over and keep going." You know, just because they're so tired of it.
Well, I mean, this is, yeah, man. It's getting to that point. You're going to start to see that people don't need to be organized to make an effect. The government thinks that they're an unholy organization. The fact that they intercept all electronic communications, the fact that they have electromagnetic defense mechanisms all over, like me and you were talking about, Levon, with cell phone towers and how they think they can pretty much swell and dissuade any kind of revolution. But that ain't going
to
work.
I think they're trying to fight a war that's not even external, it's internal. They're trying to forget it, or they're trying to we're all geared towards forgetting our innate power. Like, we've lost our power. Like, they don't want you to know, like, you're infinitely powerful. Mm-hmm. You can do anything that you desire, and it's true.
Right.
But if you know that, then you are unstoppable. How dare you be infinite?
It's true.
It's true.
It's what we always talk about, because the only power they have over you is thinking that they have power over you. That's it.
It's like the horse that is loosely tied to the wooden post.
Right, and it doesn't run away.
It doesn't run away.
But it could.
But it could.
So you could be free. And I think that's what we all are starting to see is we preach it every single time we get back to it, because we realize that all the problems in the world are there because people allow other people to make their decisions.
Got to set boundaries.
if everybody in the world didn't need to go to work, there'd be no war because there'd be no resource base for war. And we understand that. If we were all self-sufficient, there could be no army. There could be no government. There would be no need for these things. And we know that that's what we're working towards. I know it sounds insane that there couldn't be some kind of hierarchical, organizational backbone. But guess what? We're all pretty good people. Most people are pretty good. They just want to live.
It sounds so scary, man, but with the chaos of our modern society, it stems from these governments. It stems from this corporatocracy where these corporations and these oligarchs are able to raid all of our wealth. And almost all the violence in the world, almost all the prejudice, almost all wars, and the reason why people dislike other people of different colors and different ethnicities and from different geographical locations is because people have an insecure economic situation. And this is exactly the same reason why all these white people got mad at these immigrants up in Marietta that were trying to, these refugees that were trying to take refuge over here because the drug war and horrible foreign policy has completely destroyed their own economies and their own governments have become so corrupt because they're propped up by American-backed dictators and American aid in the form of military aid to crack down on all these people. We can't forget what we did down in Chile and all that stuff. The reason why these people were so upset at these immigrants and at these refugees was because these people were all former middle class, and they lost their middle class status, and now they're worried, what the hell, what the hell's going on? We got to get mad at somebody. There's got to be a reason why our economy sucks and why my job sucks and why my house is worth less than what I paid and why my job security isn't there and why my kids aren't able to go to college and why everyone in my family has to work just to pay the bills. That's why people are so upset. Now, do people go and blame the wrong thing? They have a scapegoat? Yeah, and that's the big problem. People are so divided. We let the media divide us. And if you look at Drudge Report, you'll even to this day, you'll still see a bunch of anti-immigration crap on the Drudge Report. And that's the most widespread, one of the most widespread websites in the world. And almost every conservative reads the Drudge Report. So if they're reading all this anti-immigration stuff on there, of course they're going to get all pissed off. Now, unfortunately, the Drudge Report is so superficial, it never digs into the real causes behind this stuff like we do here. And hopefully, what we're talking about here is actually digging into these causes and how the Fed is raiding us and how these oligarchs are raiding us. And these are the people that we need to focus our anger on and our economic insecurity. We need to stop making scapegoats and we need to strike at the root of all of our problems, which is this entire system. And sooner or later, when we all figure it out, there's almost 300 million of us here in this country, and there's only a handful of these guys that are, you know, doing all this destruction. When we finally do figure it out, and we finally do unite, and I think that these riots down in Ferguson could be the very start of what could be this enormous social change, then these oligarchs are in for a real tough time, and we're going to get our status back, our representation back, our economic freedom back, our economic security, and we can start eradicating poverty. We can start eradicating this prison population that has grown just huge in the ever since they started the drug war, and it's almost completely aimed at targeting poor people and minorities. And we can fix all these problems if we finally get past all these petty differences that are manufactured by the media, whether it be left or right. There's always going to be a left or right media because that's their control apparatus. That's how they keep us divided and they keep us fighting against each other instead of fighting against the real problem. Sooner or later, we're going to figure it out, man, and I hope that it's sooner than later.
The other day, I had a really interesting experience. For about 4 years now, I've been teaching people that I am them and they are me, and a couple years ago, I sounded like a crazy lady, but then something magical happened. I went to the farmer's market the other day, and the man behind the counter said, "Did you know that you are me and I am you?" And I was like, "Oh my God, that just happened." So that instance alone gives me hope, and it's proof to me, and it's solidification and validation that my efforts are not unnoticed. The fact that a random stranger told me the thing that I have been trying to teach forever, it seems like, was like, ah. So you are what you believe, and you attract others depending on your thoughts. And I can't stress the importance of that enough, that this shift that we speak of, it's a personalized thing, and it's so internal, and it's so individualized. And I can't encourage people more just to think about the things that they carry around that cause them turmoil or hatred or anger or just depression or discomfort, like, because you're radiating that and you're attracting the people who feel the same way. Instead, build people up. I love to drive around with my window down and say, "Hey, you're beautiful," to random people. It blows them off. Totally blows them off guard, and they're just like, "What?" And then they smile, and I'm like, "Yes, success. I made that person happy." Totally random person. Spread love, dude. Don't go around saying, "Hey, did you hear about the guy who beat up his girlfriend?" No. "Hey, did you hear about the guy who helped an old lady across the street?" I don't know. Tell all the good stuff. Be the goodness. Be the love. Like, that's how you change the world. Like, when you smile at that grumpy man, you just change the world. It's the truth. That's how I feel.
These small things that we do it's like the butterfly effect, and they can multiply and multiply and multiply.
It's true.
And just like you said, you were talking about things years ago, and now it's come back full circle.
It's come back. It blew my mind.
Now this anti-establishment stuff that people have been talking about for so long, all of it is like coming to maturity now. And all these
warnings.
It's
no longer like a conspiracy.
Exactly. All the, you know, everyone, when we said, "Oh, the NSA is following and spying on all of our communication." Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist.
You're crazy. Why would they do that? You're crazy.
When we talked about the Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act saying that they're going to militarize the police and that people are going to lose their due process and lose their freedom of speech, everyone, "Oh, you're overreacting. You're tripping." Well, guess what? We're seeing it take place right now in Ferguson. And if you look at those pictures, a lot of these guys, these militarized police forces, they're wearing GoPro cameras. They're going to take this footage and use it for training purposes later on. If we don't drastically cut them down right now and strike the root and get rid of them, not violently, hopefully, but by just putting so much pressure that these guys are forced to reform it, they're going to be able to take everything that's happened right now in Ferguson and learn from it and make their crackdown on the next time this stuff happens even worse and even more effective. Yeah. So now is really the time, man.
What the lasting legacy of Mike Brown's pretty much martyrdom, if we can call it that, because Trayvon opened our eyes and there was basically this debacle of a court case and Zimmerman was set free and, you know, closet racists, country, or let's say worldwide, were happy that they could justify shooting people of the wrong color they didn't like. Well, guess what? This isn't going to go away, man. Because everybody that's in a marginalized community realizes I can be killed for any reason. They can pretty much subjugate any investigation. They're going to get away with this, in a sense. This police officer, even if he were to be fired, could be transitionally hired in another department anywhere else in the country. And it happens all the time. And it shouldn't, and it can't. And it can't be allowed anymore, because nobody I know has been killed by a police officer yet. That never used to be in my vocabulary. And that's changed, and we can't allow that to happen. If we have police that are the enemy of society, these police need to be reined in. They can't have lethal weapons. They're not going to be able to make an arrest without a personal camera on them. And if they do anything without camera backup, if there's a malfunction of a camera, guess what? They're no longer a police department employee. They're a private citizen. That's what we need to do. Once that happens, police shootings will stop. All of these tough guy acts with all these pretty much psychopaths will stop. And that's what we have to have happen. If there's one thing Ferguson taught us, it's that the militarization of the police will be used on anyone for any reason, and it must be scaled down probably to what it was back in the 50s and the 60s. We need neighborhood cops that have beats. We need guys that never leave neighborhoods, and we definitely should probably disarm them except in the very most dangerous places. And even then, they have the SWAT team. So And we just can't trust these guys anymore.
Exactly. This militarization breeds a horrible thing, and it makes the situation worse all around, on the police side and on the public side. I got a story here that we touched on a while back, and it was out of Stockton, California, which is up in the Bay Area, where there was a hostage situation, and there was a guy that robbed a bank or something like that, and he had three hostages, and he was running from the cops. Now, typically in a hostage situation, you're supposed to do what you can. The cops are supposed to try their best not to compromise the hostages. You know, that's why people take hostages, so that they can get away. You know, and so that what the job is of the cops, when there's a hostage situation, is to de-escalate the situation, calm the guy down, and then rescue the hostages, and then deal with the guy, right? And that's kind of the way that it's supposed to work. And that's the way that these people are supposed to be trained. Now, here's the thing. Here's what happened in Stockton, California, which we covered extensively on the anti-media. Instead of doing what they should have done, which was de-escalate, back away, et cetera, et cetera, the cops instead said, you know what? Okay, this guy's got three hostages. Send in the MRAP. Send in the armored vehicle, and it doesn't matter. He can't shoot us. You know what happened? All three hostages end up shot.
Yep.
One died. And you know what just got? You know what just came out? Guess who killed the hostage? The cops.
Yep.
The cops end up shooting the
hostage. Because they tried to snipe him. And let's be honest. And this right here is the only argument you need to disarm the police. The police are not heavily trained, okay? They're not. They go through a 3 to 6 month academy, and that's it. And then they're thrown out on the street with a gun and a license to kill and the city to back them. And it can't be that way anymore. We're expecting guys to do a job that they're getting trained for less than the military, when the military has one job, point a gun and shoot it. The police have multiple hats to wear. These guys should be at a very minimum college degree educated before they're allowed to hold a gun, or at least have 4 years in the military so they know what the hell the Constitution is. That's the only point these guys have to exist as a job. Yet we allow them to become revenue collectors. We allow it because we're okay with that, because everybody just argues and bitches and complains and doesn't change the system, when the system could be changed, and we got to change it. I think that's what it boils down to. Ferguson shows us what all of us have to look forward to if we let this escalation continue.
I don't know if you know this, but I used to date a cop. And interestingly enough, he was not a cop when we first started dating. And then about year three in our relationship, he became one. And I remember just him being in that environment and doing that job completely altered him. Like, even his perception of people, like, we'd go out to eat and he'd be like, that guy's a creep, or right, that guy's a bad guy. And I'm like, whoa, like, how can you judge someone just by looking at them? Like, how do you know what he's capable of? Being me, I didn't comprehend. Like, I see everyone the same, either happy or unhappy, you know, and he's like, oh, that's a bad guy, or that guy's up to no good. And it just demonstrated to me, like, this ingrained perspective that they're all taught. And I don't like to generalize because that's essentially the same thing. But in my perspective, I saw this person transform into almost a machine. It's right, like RoboCop real life. Right. Like, they strip away your humanity and they're like, okay, bloop, 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 you yep, do those things. Bloop, bloop, bloop. It's yep, like systematic.
There's no gray area because it's not statistics.
It is. And it, like, I went on a ride-along recently and I shared with you that there is profiling.
Oh, yeah.
I saw it. Like, I was there. It yeah, happens.
You know, and here's the thing, is that most of these guys enter into the police force with good intentions.
They do.
They want to help the community, and they want to do good things. Now, right off the bat, you got to understand that anybody with any kind of intelligence gets filtered out. They're not even allowed to get right, the chance to be a cop. Yep. Supposedly because people with high intelligence, there's too quick of a turnover, and we waste a bunch of money training them, and right, 3 years later, they get bored and quit.
Right.
I don't buy that one bit. Maybe that could be partially true.
They realize what the job is and they quit.
But here's the thing. People that are intelligent, they get
they get on the other side of the brainwashing after the brainwashing is done, and they still have a conscience.
Right.
People that are dumb enough, they get brainwashed, they lose their conscience.
Right.
And they just become prejudiced, and
they're
just
predators.
Start,
yeah. That's all they are. They're
trained.
Listen,
machines.
Man.
They're
there's thugs. Two kinds of drones. One flies and one has a back.
Well, yeah. For sure. Write that down. That's good. That's
because
good.
It's what it is. Even the military men who went through this boot camp indoctrination still understand that what their job is. You kill to preserve life. I know it sounds weird, but if more people weren't around to kill bad people, there'd be a lot more good dead people. That's just simple. But a cop's job, what is it anymore? It used to be keep things safe.
Making money
protect
for the
children.
City.
Protect children and honestly, like, make sure that nothing happens to innocent people. Protect them. You have a gun for a reason. Not
hold
anymore.
Our rights.
Yeah, but now what?
I believe on the car it says to protect and serve citizens. Does it not?
Yes. The innocent and those who cannot defend themselves need you. Yet these people have been changed. They've been morphed. They've been mutated into this. Well, really, all they do is collect money.
There was one time, and here's the thing. These cops, their original task was to uphold our rights and protect our liberties and our rights. No search and seizure without warrant. We all know the old text. When I was in my college stint, we went up to this college called Grossmont College, which is nearby, and we got pulled over for absolutely no reason. The cop drove by, profiled us. Did a U-turn behind us, pulled us over into this parking lot, where he, and this is probably 5 years ago, before I knew my rights, or before I knew about cop block, or before I knew about YouTube and all that stuff. All right, maybe I knew about YouTube, but I didn't know about police accountability and stuff. I was just, you know, back then I was just another dude just trying to do my thing and go to college and all that stuff. And this cop pulls us over. He finds out what neighborhood we're from. He's like, oh, you guys are from Chula Vista. That's, you know, that's kind of a bad part of town. Get the hell out of the car right now.
Yep.
While we go ahead and do basically everything but an anal probe on you.
Right.
And continually ask you over 10 to 20 times about where you're hiding your marijuana,
right.
Which we didn't have, fortunately, because we had just finished smoking it. Not in the car either, so it didn't smell in the car either. But these guys harassed us and harassed us and harassed us and harassed us. And when they finally couldn't find any weed, and to this day I think they were just looking for some stuff to smoke, they finally just let us go after they got done just completely abusing and violating us.
Mm-hmm.
And they act like, at the end of the day, they act like they were doing us a favor.
Right.
Just like every cop does when they write you, well, I'm going to let you off on this, but, you know, I'm going to cite you on, oh, thanks, bro, thanks, man, I really appreciate that. I got pulled over the other day and written a fix-it ticket because someone bashed out my taillight, and I didn't have the money to fix it. So what happens to me? I get pulled over, interrogated by a cop, and I got a ticket.
Yep.
Why didn't I resist? Because I had to have my buddy at the airport in 10 minutes. And if I would have sat there and resisted this cop, my buddy would have missed his flight.
Right.
And you know me. I wanted to resist this guy so bad, but I knew I was just going to get a fix-it ticket. And I knew my buddy had to be at the airport in 10 minutes. I said, you know what, bro, just give me my ticket and let me go because I need to get this guy to the airport. And I was right around the corner. But this is the kind of stuff that they do. They are now trained to violate your rights and get you to give up your right to privacy.
Right. And they have no motivation to not do these activities because they're starting to see that those that at the very top of this federal government hierarchy that was supposed to follow the Constitution is completely shitting on it now. And I think last time we touched on this, there's a video of a guy that pretty much gets a cop to admit, if Obama regime isn't following the Constitution, why should we? This is the fracturing of America. This is what they want. This is divide and conquer. This is you giving up your rights, giving them up. They can't take them. If everybody that came out in Ferguson, if that was a nationwide movement, if black and white, Latino and Asian all came out and pretty much pissed on the cops are gone tomorrow morning. There will not be a police department tomorrow morning. We'll have community response action groups.
The only reason they're able to come out in force, all right, Ferguson is a community of only 20,000 people. The only reason they're able to get that many cops out, guess how many departments have responded in Ferguson?
All of them.
25 different police departments are in Ferguson right now suppressing this protest and these rioting and this looting. If all of St. Louis decided to do it, guess what? There'd only be one department for each area, and they'd just be completely outnumbered. They'd be done.
They'd pull in the National Guard.
The police would be dispersed tomorrow morning, like you said.
You would. This is the whole fallacy of the power structure in this country. It's by consent. It's by contract. You go along with it. You've been brainwashed into thinking these things. Me too. Trust me, we all are. We still are scared of the gun. We're still afraid to lose our lives to these guys. But the fact is, if we all came out, listen, they had sniper, red dots trained on the foreheads of 30 or 40 people. But guess what? There were 1,000 people with them. That's the strength. These guys are, I hate to use this word, but man, they're cowards, dude. Because if they had any real fucking sack to them, they would have went out and fixed this community instead of pretty much persecuting random teenagers because they don't actually constitute a threat to them. That's the whole problem right now. The whole problem is we're allowing marginalized societies to pretty much be brutalized, and cops are not doing their jobs, man. I bet you anything St. Louis has a massive crime rate, and these fools are screwing around with random people and not preventing crime. It could be mirrored in any country, any society. If we allow these people not to do their jobs, if we allow them to keep abusing us, they're going to.
They're not afraid of us yet. But like I said, you guys want to read an awesome article, go over to the Cop Block Facebook page. Look at the pinned post and read that post from Justin King from the Anti-Media. And he lays it all out right there, man. These guys have a limited amount of time to either reform themselves and disperse, or they're done. They're all going to paint targets on their own backs. And unfortunately, the saddest part of it all is that the cops are actually part of the oppressed class. They're poor, just like we are. Yeah, they may make enough to be kind of middle class, but it's only going to last for so long. And when it comes down to it, the cops are getting screwed over by the banking class and the ruling class just as much as anybody else. And they're just useful pawns in the game. They're fed this lie that they're doing the right thing, and that, you know, protecting the corporate interests, protecting the elite from the poor is the thing that they should do. No. The thing that we need to do is alleviate all this poverty, raise up the poor, empower the people that are oppressed, and then there won't be all this crime. There won't be all this violent crime. We need to do away with the drug war. Then we won't have all that crap of all these victimless criminals flooding the jails, destroying our finances, destroying our tax base, because we're paying for all these people in jail that shouldn't be in jail. There's just so many things that need to be done, and it's going to take a massive amount of public opinion. And this is what these riots are serving as. What these riots have done, people are like, oh, well, no, that's stupid. They're just destroying private property and stuff. Well, guess what? It's forced the media to remain on this issue like a laser. More and more corporate media outlets. I saw something from Business Insider today, Raw Story. I mean, these are typically pretty liberal publications. Going after the police state and showing the downfalls of the militarized police state. So these riots have served a great purpose. They've served the attention. They've grabbed the attention, the headlines. And people like us are able to come in and give the real story about why people are rioting, about what the rioting is doing, about how people are getting slaughtered in the streets by these cops, about this horrible, horrible situation that is built just by the ideology of a militarized police force. So in the end, I think it's all serving the purpose, and it's taking us in the right direction. We better move on here to some foreign policy stuff before we get lost in this police stuff, and I'd love to go on. We may get a call from Derek Brose in a little bit. To talk about the anniversary of 9/11, but we'll see. But I want to get into this poll here about what young Americans think about the situation of the Palestinians. Let me pull this up here because this is pretty interesting. This is the latest Gallup poll. And it basically shows that the majority of young people are siding here with Gaza. And we understand that what Israel is doing is horrible. And we understand that us funding Israel is horrible. And we all think, by 51%, think that what's happening to the people in Gaza is not justified compared to just 25% that think it is. So the young people get it. The older people, a lot of the older people above 40 are probably still like, oh, Israel,
draft them.
Israel should be able to defend itself. Okay, well, if you want Israel to defend itself, then let's cut all of their foreign aid, and then I can keep my money that is being used to slaughter people in Gaza, and you can go ahead and send your paycheck over there to some kind of Blackwater place that's going to blow people up. I don't agree with that, but if you want to support Israel, by all means, do it. I don't. Young people don't. Young people control the debate in this country. Young people set the trends.
Young people get their news from the internet, and they're not spoon-fed every opinion since the beginning of their freaking lives, like the entire baby boomer generation. I'm sorry, dude.
It's true. We have.
But I'll call you out, man. You watched TV, read newspapers, and listened to the radio, had a hippie generation that got high on drugs the CIA created. CIA, sorry. And now you wonder why the world is shit. It's because of you. And now we're cleaning this crap up. So if you want to know why the police state is the way it is, it's because we had a complete wuss generation before us that gave up everything so they could smoke a little weak pot, have some sex, watch some concerts, and be general douchebags. I'm sorry.
So it's a positive, in my opinion, this is a positive thing, man, because if I look at our analytics on the anti-media, and almost all of our people are between 18 and 35. And this poll is based on people under 30, so that's a big demographic that we kind of cater to here. And so it shows that this information is working. Because all the fools that are still watching Fox News and CNN that are all pro-Israel, and they think it's a great idea to send them $3 billion a year, even though they've got a great economy and they are more than capable of supporting themselves and defending themselves. I agree. Everyone should be able to defend itself, but what they're doing is not defense. It's offensive. Just like our foreign policy, our national quote-unquote defense, it's not defensive by any means. If it was defensive, we'd have all of our Navy going up and down our coasts, making sure no submarines were coming in, and our guys would be stationed here making sure we weren't getting invaded. That's all they would be doing. They wouldn't be over in Germany. They wouldn't be over in Japan. They wouldn't be over in Korea. They wouldn't be over in Guantanamo Bay.
They wouldn't be stockpiling Navy assets in European caves. This is a brand new story that's come out. Get this. The United States is so worried that it will be pretty much destroyed from within and unable to wage war for the moneyed elite, that they're moving their military hardware to caves in Europe. Read the story. They actually believe that the people may win, and that they want to keep going to war, and Europe will keep fighting. Because Europe, I guess, I don't know, they believe that they can continue to keep them fractured along country lines. And that they'll move from here and just make the U.S. the sacrificial lamb for Russia and China.
Now, I mean,
it's crazy.
The positive information coming out about Gaza is that supposedly they're getting closer and closer to a truce. Right? Now, the problem is that the people in Gaza, and I think it's something like 1.8 million, it's a couple thousand less now that Israel just slaughtered a bunch of people, they're completely blockaded in. And I went down to the border the other day to take a look at the situation and the fence, and it's only 5-10 miles from my place. It's only like a 10-minute drive. And I went over, and I took my buddy that was in town visiting, and we went over down into Tijuana, and we checked out the fence, and it's just a completely, completely different world down there, man. And to see that people on one side of the fence are living in horrible, horrible conditions, and they're blocked off by this huge 15-foot militarized fence guarded by a bunch of people with machine guns and tanks and helicopters and Humvees and all this kind of drones and all this crap. To see that they can live in such a horrible living condition just a stone's throw away from where Americans are on the other side. It's just so night and day, and it kind of gives me a sense of what the Palestinians are dealing with their blockade, and the fact that all of their goods are blockaded. They're not able to get medicine. They're not able to get clean water. They're not able to get reliable electricity or internet or any of these staple goods that we get on a regular basis. And as Americans, even though our economy is being decimated and even though our middle class is being evaporated, we still have this reserve currency for now. And it's holding us up in this superficial bubble where we still have all these things without really having to work as much for it as the people in other places do, like people in Gaza do.
Right.
And the Israelis have them under ration. They count the calories as the food gets put, as the Israelis allow food to go into Gaza, they count the calories.
Yep.
And they say, okay, there's enough calories to sustain those people.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all the food that's going in today.
They don't want them to have any extra energy to do any kind of mischief. I know I read it was like 1,440 calories a day is what they partitioned per person times 1.8 million is what they allow in per day.
And that's not even, we're supposed to have 2,000 calories a day. So
right.
They're all being systematically, institutionally malnutrition.
Malnutrition, so they can't fight, they can't raise an army. Now here's the thing. The last time this happened, it was in a freaking Warsaw ghetto in 1940. Do we want to see that? Are you okay with reliving this? Are you okay on your conscience going to work at wherever you work, driving your gas guzzler every day? Are you fine with that? Are you fine with millions and millions of people being slaughtered again for what? It's the exact same thing, man. And the eugenic program rolls on and on to reduce and eliminate undesirable segments of the population. And it just hasn't been your turn yet, if you're listening. You're one of those segments, too. Trust me on that.
So, you know, the good news is we're getting close to a truce. The bad news is that the blockade is most likely, I'd give it a 99% chance that the blockade is going to stay in place. So here's the thing, man, and this is what we can't forget. Once the truce is over and there's not as much bloodshed and all that stuff, we can't forget about how effed up it is in Gaza. We have to keep pressuring our government to cut all this funding to Israel. We have to keep pressuring other governments, especially in Egypt, which is another Islamic state, to open up the borders and allow goods to flow through there freely. Now, of course, the Egyptian government is a complete puppet of the U.S. and Israel. In fact, Israel offered something like 8 million or 30 million to back the guy that's going to run for the Egyptian presidency. And he's a military guy. He's a general.
Right.
Or an admiral or whatever. The Egyptians are complete puppets of the U.S. What we can't forget is that once all this stuff quiets down, is that those problems don't disappear. Those problems live on. And these people are constantly living in an extremely worse situation than we are, and we're partially at fault for it. And we got to keep that in mind. And so once it does pass through, we got to keep the pressure on, keep the protesting going, keep contacting our Congress people, keep sending money over there to relieve the people in Palestine. And we just can't forget about it. Now, of course, our final thing, we only got about a minute or so left. ISIS. Ron Paul came out, made a great interview on RT about how we're basically, it's our fault that ISIS came up in Iraq, which is completely true. We knocked out Saddam Hussein, who at least had the area under somewhat of a stabilized situation. We knocked him out to get the oil. Now we're going back in bombing. I see a bunch of brainwashed people on there. Yeah, but ISIS, we really do need to get rid of ISIS. Well, guess what? When back in the 90s, they had you believing that the Iraqi army was throwing babies out of incubators and smashing them on the ground.
They had you believing Al-Qaeda was an actual legitimate terrorist organization.
They had us believing that Saddam Hussein had nuclear weapons that he was about to strike the U.S. with. Now we got John McCain and Lindsey Graham coming out and saying ISIS is going to come and strike the U.S. with nuclear weapons.
Yep.
Hey, dude, get a new goddamn playbook because this shit's getting old.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, there's so many people that still watch TV that actually believe we're doing a humanitarian mission in Iraq. And here's the thing. You need a wake-up call. check out our latest article, the Ron Paul one on the anti-media. Scroll down, watch the video. Watch the video below it, too. Awesome. Not humanitarian. Protecting oil interests once again. This time we're helping to protect the Kurdish oil interests.